Going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 14, the three modes of material nature, text number 19. Is there anyone here who knows, who speaks Russian? Gavrite Paruski? You speak Ukrainska? Could someone translate? Do you understand Slovene?
No.
You can translate for him? No. Okay.
I recorded this lecture.
Okay. Mojavi Poja. Nanyang Gunevyas Kartaram Yadadrashtanu Parshati Gunevyas Shaparam Veti Madhvavam Sodigachati. One properly sees that all activities, when one properly sees that in all activities, no other performer is at work than these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. So please repeat. When one properly sees that in all activities, no other performer
is at work.
Then these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. Srila Prabhupada's purport: one can transcend all the activities of the modes of material nature simply by understanding them properly, by learning from the proper souls. The real spiritual master is Krishna, and he is imparting this spiritual knowledge to Arjuna. Similarly, it is from those who are fully in Krishna consciousness that one has to learn the science of activities in terms of the modes of nature. Otherwise, one's life will be misdirected. By the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, a living entity can know of his spiritual position, his material body, his senses, how he is entrapped, and how he is under the spell of the material modes of nature. He is helpless, being in the grip of these modes. But when he can see his real position, then he can attain to the transcendental platform, having the scope for spiritual life. Actually, the living entity is not the performer of different activities. He is forced to act because he is situated in a particular type of body, conducted by some particular mode of material nature. Unless one has the help of spiritual authority, he cannot understand in what position he is actually situated. With the association of a bona fide spiritual master, he can see his real position, and by such an understanding, he can become fixed in full Krishna consciousness. A man in Krishna consciousness is not controlled by the spell of the material modes of nature. It has already been stated in the seventh chapter that one who is surrendered to Krishna is relieved from the activities of material nature. For one who is able to see things as they are, the influence of material nature gradually ceases. So the text again. Nanyan gunevya kartaram yadadrashtanu pashyati gunevyas chaparam veti madbhavam sodigachati. One properly sees in all activities no other performers at work than these modes of material nature, or modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. Krishna consciousness is all about consciousness. We're trying to change our consciousness. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us that there's three steps to changing our consciousness. In that verse, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upatekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshana. Try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him, the self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So the three steps are submission, inquiry, and service. And then there is knowledge. And what is that knowledge? Yajgyatvana punamaham, evam yasasi pandava, yena bhutine sheshani drakshasyatmire tomai. And when you've seen the truth, you'll know that all living beings are a part of me. Actually, there's more to the translation than that. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you'll never again fall into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you'll see that all living beings are a part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. That's one translation. In other words, we'll realize everything here is Krishna's energy, and that everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. So that's quite simple. As a matter of fact, this whole Krishna consciousness means to make everything simple. As Krishna says also in the Bhagavad Gita, that in the 13th chapter, Yavat sanjayate kinchit satvam savara jangamam kshetra kshetragaya samyogat tadviri varatarshiva. O chief of the Bharatas, know that whatever you see in existence, both the moving and the non-moving, is only a combination of the field of activities and the knower of the field. In other words, all there is material nature in its various forms, and then the souls. A lot of material nature and a lot of souls. And we happen to be one of those souls. And there's a lot more of us than just one of us. We're not the only ones here. There's a lot of other souls here. And there's a lot of material nature, too. The problem is that we take the material nature as something that could possibly we can control and enjoy. But the material nature cannot be controlled nor enjoyed by us. So that's what knowledge is. That the material nature is controlling and we're suffering in it. And that the material nature is supposed to be utilized for Krishna. And then we can actually come out of this illusion that we're the doers. We're simply the desirer. Everything depends upon what we desire. If we desire to serve Krishna, then we'll see reality. And if we desire to serve our senses, then we'll be put into illusion. That's our choice. So therefore, Krishna says that he's God in Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya pravo matak sarvam pravartate. And it's not easy to become God. As a matter of fact, it's impossible to become God. Unless you were eternally God, you can't become God. So sorry for those who are aspiring to become God. We don't want to disappoint you. But we're supposed to tell the truth. So because we can't become God, therefore, it's in our interest to actually find out who is God and what he would like us to do so we can become happy. Because everyone wants to become happy, but to become happy, we need knowledge. We need knowledge of how to become happy. And therefore, Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita not so that we can print up a lot of copies and sell them and get some money to offer some food to Krishna. Krishna is not hungry. That's not why he spoke the Bhagavad Gita, to make a living. He spoke Bhagavad Gita in order to help us come to the platform of real understanding. And when we come to the platform of real understanding, then if we act according to that understanding, then Krishna is very kind and he can reveal to us himself and everything else as it actually is. Krishna would like to do that. As a matter of fact, he goes out of his way and comes as an incarnation to speak the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, Goloka Vrindavan is far from here, so it's a big trip, even for Krishna. He goes really out of his way to come here to this earth. It's not a vacation place for Krishna. He doesn't come here because he needs a break. He's been herding cows since time more eternal, and he needs a break, so he comes here. And he speaks Bhagavad Gita just to get a vacation for a few hundred years. No, he only speaks, he comes as his incarnations, he comes as a deity, he comes of his devotees, in order to give us knowledge that we're all Krishna's eternal servants, and that If we utilize our chittak, our consciousness, and our prana, if we desire that these things be used in Krishna's service, then the result is that we'll understand what to do. In other words, first of all, we have to hear from Krishna's devotees, as Krishna says, Matshitamashkata prana bodhiyantash parashparam katayantashramam nityam tushanti charamandicha. Krishna says that the thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. In other words, we have two things to work with. We have our consciousness, and we have our energy, prana, our life force. We can utilize these two things in Krishna's service, and the devotees are teaching us what to do with these two things, how to change our consciousness, and how to change our activities so that we become conscious of Krishna. And how do we change them? Krishna says, Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam didami buddhiyogam tam yena mam upiyanti te. Two things. One is to try to be constantly engaged in Krishna's service, and the other with enthusiasm, with love. And enthusiasm has been defined as activities performed in Krishna consciousness with intelligence is called enthusiasm. So if we want to become enthusiastic, we have to do devotional service with intelligence. And then we'll become enthusiastic. Why will we become enthusiastic? Because Krishna says, Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna will give us intelligence to make spiritual progress. In other words, we get realization. We actually start to believe more firmly in what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that everyone is actually Krishna's servant. We're not from, just like here we have devotees from, anyone here, someone's from Finland, from Slovenia, from Ukraine. Where are you from? Yes, so even from Slovenia, Romania, India, America, Serbia, all over the world. But actually we don't think, here's a Serbian devotee, here's a Ukrainian devotee, here's a Finnish devotee. Maybe there's an American devotee or in Romania. No, we think that these are devotees. Because actually these dresses, these bodies that we have on, they're not ourselves. They're simply the car that we're driving in. And no devotee thinks, aham car, I'm the car. They know that they're actually the spiritual being within the body. So to see like that, and then the next thing, that one has to perform enthusiastic, constant service to Krishna. And then Krishna gives the intelligence by which we're able to see how everyone is Krishna's servant. And then the intelligence how to serve them nicely. Generally speaking, in the material world, everyone's trying to figure out how everyone else can serve them nicely. But actually, we're not trying to get anyone to serve ourselves nicely, because we don't even know who we are. We're trying to get everyone to serve our bodies nicely, or our minds, or our conceptions, or generally our false ego nicely. But we're none of these things. And therefore, as I've said before, we're simply in love with this machine that we've been put into. We think that this is God, this machine. So actually, we've never given up worshiping God. We've just gotten the wrong God, though. We're worshiping this dead God, this machine that we're in, this body. But our real nature, our normal position is to serve the real God, Krishna, Radhan Krishna. And when we serve Radhan Krishna, then we are able to understand everything properly. And we get out of this very limited conception of where my service should go. Servants we are, We're eternally servants. We can't help but serve. The question is, what or who we're going to serve. If we serve Krishna, then who's the root of all bliss and love and happiness and awareness, then we get bliss, knowledge, and awareness. And if we serve this body and our minds or our senses, then the result is we get different degrees of limitation of bliss, knowledge, and awareness. Unfortunately, people have no knowledge and therefore they don't know what their choice is. At least they should know what their choice is. If there is a car going to heaven and there's a car going to hell, then at least you should know which car to choose. Now, if you voluntarily say, I always wanted to meet the devil, I really like it. I heard it's warm down there, and I really like warm weather. Then at least you get into the car that's going to hell, at least you made your choice. But if you don't know that there's another car that can go to heaven, where it's also quite warm there, just the right temperature, then you can at least you can say you know that I have a choice where I want to go. So this knowledge is simply giving human beings an opportunity to choose where they want to go, because we're going somewhere. Either we're going to be there today or tomorrow, we're always going somewhere. Where we want to go, we should know what direction we want to go. So that's why Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna, give an opportunity to us to decide whether we want to accept that we're eternal, because that's very difficult to accept for the conditioned soul, that he's actually eternal. Because there's so much going on in the material world, and it's very distracting. And therefore, even though we get some theoretical knowledge that I'm eternal, and that even we understand theoretically that Krishna is the Supreme Person, there's so much distraction that many times we choose the wrong thing. We become more caught up in what everyone else is doing, just like if everyone's going the wrong way. For instance, if you want to, they have this game where they have these shells, and they mix up the there's something underneath the shell, and you have to choose what's underneath the shell, and if you choose the right shell and the pea or whatever else is underneath it, then you win some money. So generally speaking, the person who's doing this kind of like scam, he has the pea and he has the shell and he's mixing it around. And his friend is there, the person he's working with, and he says, which one is it? And he says, this one. He got it right, and then he gives them the money. Of course, they're working together. So then, and then he has his friends. The other friends are all crowded around. So naturally, when everyone comes by, walking by, they see this, everyone's crowded around this temple, table. So they're thinking, there must be something going on there. Why are all these people crowded around? So then more people come. And they're seeing this man, he's playing this game, and he's this other man who's playing with him, who's winning all this money, and they think, wow, this is really easy. let me win the money too. So then they start gambling, they're losing. Again, I said, why is he winning and I'm losing? Because it's a scam. So that's the material world. There's a scam going on. Everyone's identifying themselves with their gross and subtle body. And we're thinking, well, that's completely normal. That's the way you're supposed to do it. That's the way you live in the material world, under the illusion. Just like one goat, all the goats are eating the grass, and one goat goes into the slaughterhouse. And everyone thinks that's completely normal. We should follow him. So all the other goats go into the slaughterhouse too. So similarly, in the material world, everyone has been put into illusion, and generally people think that's the normal thing to do. If you ask your mother and father, most of us, what do you think of the Hare Krishnas? They'll say they're completely an illusion. Don't follow them. They're going, you know, they're lost souls. They don't know what's going on. They have no vision. They probably don't even read the newspaper. I heard that some of them even dropped out of Facebook. No, it couldn't be. No one's in such maya. So most people are in illusion, and they think everyone else who are equally illusion that they are, they're completely normal. And anyone who sees even that everyone is eternal souls, they think is completely crazy. And what to speak if you tell even the most religious people nowadays that God is a person, they think you're completely nuts. How can God be a person? The only person that exists is me. Everyone else is kind of a person, but I'm really the only person. At least I'm the most important person. God may be there, but he's an energy, so he's... there's a lot of him, but it doesn't add up to much. But me, I'm the center. That's why God has created the sun and the moon to revolve around me. Because he knows where things are really at. So one should try to learn the actual truth, and then we'll be able to relate to others in a way that's going to be pleasing to Krishna. Then we could desire what Krishna desires, and what Krishna desires is everyone becomes aware of their eternality, that they're eternal. Now that wouldn't be a very bad idea to find out we're eternal, since in the material world everyone's struggling to live a few more years. If you found out you were eternal, that's a pretty big boon. I mean, probably, as Krishna says, it makes one happy. We realize we're eternal, prasanatma, we become joyful. Now, if I had held up a little pill box, and I said, in this pill box, there's a pill, and if you eat the pill, you'll live 10 years longer. Now, we're having a special deal on this pill. It's only going to cost 10,000 euros. Everyone would check their pockets. Let's see if... Could I write you a check or an IOU or something? To live 10 years more, people will sell their house. And we come here and say, well, we have something to make you... You're going to live eternally. Oh, I'm not interested. So boring. They're going to tell me next time I'm eternal again. Who cares? Give me that pill for $10,000 so I can live 10 years longer. We can make you happy forever. No, I'm not interested. Just give me an extra piece of pizza and I'll be satisfied. So we have the greatest gift to give to people. We can help them realize they're eternal. They're very eternal. The problem is they're eternally in hell, that's all. It's good to be eternal, but to be eternally in hell is not very comfortable. So we have the knowledge by which people can realize they're eternal and how to become eternally happy. So that vision is there, and it's simply to accept, only to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A little thing like that. To accept Krishna as God, and then to hear from him what he wants us to do. And if we agree to do it, then Krishna will gradually give us all the knowledge. We'll be able to see things as it actually is. And if we say, well, Krishna is not God, there is no God. I and my brother and sister, we're God. Well, then good. We'll find out what kind of God you are. If you don't, as Prabhupada said, if you don't want to bow down to Krishna in this lifetime, then everyone offers dandavats at the time of death, to death. Rityu sarvaharasyam. We don't know accept Krishna as God. We claim we're the controller, then stop death. We invite everyone to stop death. If you figure out how to stop death, we'll join you. A better way of stopping death than to surrender to Krishna. And if you don't want to do that, then find out whether you can stop death or not. So, if this is very hard to understand, then we recommend everyone to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we chant especially the idea, please engage me in your loving service, then that will be the very essence of what we're talking about. So thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Microphone.
Thank you for an inspiring lecture. I would just like to ask, when you mentioned that we are very quickly disturbed in the material world, so what are some guidelines on how to not to become disturbed? So how can we, what can we do, some main factors to protect?
Read Prabhupada's books. Memorize them. See through them. And then accept them. Accept them and see through them. If we see everything is arranged by Krishna, then what is there to be disturbed about? And it's not arranged arbitrarily. It's not that Krishna got up on the wrong side of his bed and decided to make trouble for us today. No, it's arranged exactly what we need to become Krishna conscious. It's an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. That's why Krishna is arranging the material world. Therefore, every situation is, if we utilize it properly, is favorable. So there's nothing to be disturbed about. It's another opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. Even Ambarish Maharaj, Durvasa Muni threw a fiery demon at him, trying to kill him, and he closed his eyes and thought about Krishna. And tears of ecstasy came from his eyes, not because he was afraid of being killed, but because of the ecstasy of remembering Krishna. So we see every situation as an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna, however disturbing it may be, then it becomes a very favorable situation for our spiritual advancement, and therefore it's welcomed. Anything else? Hala Grandaraj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Kidaj.